Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is that time of month. Our pal Dave, the computer guy from Tex in the Burg in downtown Fredericksburg with us. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, Fredericksburg.
Well, we have, you and I usually start off and talk about the weather, and it's kind of a gray day, but these are spring kind of conditions, and spring is here, Dave, opening day today.
Yep, no more snow, and if anyone listened to our previous show last month, I was mentioning that the latest model run, computer weather run, showed a big East Coast snowstorm on the 10th of this month, and that didn't materialize. The very next day when I checked the computer models, it had disappeared and it never reappeared, and winter is over with.
So you were fake news there, Dave, because I was gloating about the fact.
The models made me look bad. Actually, the meteorologists call that the weather models doing the cha-cha. They'll show something one day, then the next day it's gone, then it might be back again.
Yeah.
And almost sometimes it's best just to look out the window and just see what it's doing.
I think sometimes, yes, it does. But boy, this time last year, it had been such a dry winter. And as much precipitation as we have gotten, I think there's hopes maybe that the river will be a little bit higher this year and we'll be able to do a little bit more on the Rappahannock just because we have gotten a lot more precipitation.
We the last 2 or 3 months, we've gotten a real lot of precipitation. Just the other day, I think around Fredericksburg, we got a couple inches. Got some yesterday. We probably get some today, and I think next week is going to be a very wet week.
Yeah,
what I'm seeing. So keep the rain gear handy,
and also keep in mind as you and I talk technology, and we do this time of year with thunderstorms coming around. If you can unplug your computer when storms come through, you'll be better off. You never know.
Yeah, if there is a forecast for thunderstorms and, possible severe weather, definitely turn off and unplug your computers, laptops, and especially if you're going away. If you're leaving the house, unplug it. And I've done that before, and there's been thunderstorms and come back after vacation and lightning strike about half a football field from my house, blew up a tree and fried everything in my house.
Yeah, so keep that. You never know when there could be a surge or just any number of things that if you're going to be away, there's no need to have all that stuff running and hooked up.
Nope, that's the only surefire way to protect your equipment is to unplug it.
Best in the Burg voting has started. What was yesterday?
It started yesterday, and let me see, it goes from the March 27th through April 17th, and all the businesses in downtown are going crazy now. It's every year, we've talked about this, that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger every single year. This year is the biggest I've seen it. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people are voting. And so it's really big, and I was talking to my sales agent at Fredericksburg.com yesterday, and they are very, very busy with this right now.
So if you're in the tech world, I'm a little bit partial to my friend Dave, the computer guy. So if you can go out and vote for Dave, do that.
Yep, we're in the professional services under computer repair and best internet technology service provider. I don't want to shamelessly promote myself. But
go ahead right now. I give you permission. But you've got to feel good that you've won for a number of years. You've been around here. You've seen this whole area, that particular area grow to where there just were a few choices to where there's a lot, and you've risen to the top a number of years, Dave. And so you've got a real good reputation.
We've been very fortunate the past several years. We won it like the last 3 or 4 out of 5 years or something like that. And it's almost in good fun. I know a lot of the tech people around Fredericksburg and a lot of the other businesses, and everyone wants to win, but it's good fun. And hopefully, the winners will, it'll be a feather in their cap, and they'll, get a little bit of business out of it. And it's a really, really fun, good competition.
There's Alabama football and there is Tex in the Berg. That's what I've always said, that as far as dominating goes. So if you can vote for them, if you get a chance to do that, vote for Tex in the Berg. I'll be the one who shamelessly plugs you, Dave.
That would be fine, Ted. That is perfect.
We're going to take a break and come back. We've got a number of topics we're gonna cover this morning, Dave.
Yep, we're going to be talking about discount internet, Wi-Fi, tech in the music world. We're talking about all kinds of stuff.
Dave, the computer guy with Tex in the Berg. TexintheBerg.com, the website to find out all kinds of information. And you can find out information on Facebook about them, too. Take a quick break and come back with Dave, and we'll return in just a minute or two on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dave, the computer guy, in this morning with Tex in the Berg. TexintheBerg.com is the website, and they're over there right near the train station on Lafayette Boulevard. Can't miss you, Dave. You've got a green and white sign. You've got trucks in front of the place, and you've been there now, a couple of years?
We've been here just about 3 years since we moved up from Caroline Street about 3 years ago.
So there's plenty of parking there, and you can that is where you will find Tex in the Berg. And when you if you're coming into town or leaving town, just take a look over. If you're coming into town, they'll be over on your left. And you're leaving there on your right, and check out Tex in the Berg with Dave the Computer Guy. Affordable connectivity program. We have talked about this before. This is has been a pretty great program for people. But you were telling me before the show, we need to, I guess, start talking about it in the past tense soon.
Yes. Yep. It's ending next month, April in 2024, and it's going to be tough because it helped a lot of low-income families, military families, and just anyone that qualified for SNAP or Medicaid. It'll give you discounts on internet. And in the past, internet was a luxury a long time ago. It is really not a luxury anymore. It's a necessity for families. If there's a family and there's 2 or 3 kids and they're in school and they're low income, they can't afford internet, that is a big hindrance to these kids compared to other kids who have internet. So this will be unfortunate that it's ending next month. There is another program. It's called the USAC Lifeline Program. That is still going. And it's created by the FCC. It will give you discounts every month for your internet. And it pretty much follows along the same guidelines. If you qualify for SNAP or Medicaid, mm-hmm. or food stamps, you can get assistance for discounted internet. So there are other programs out there. It's very unfortunate that the ACP, program is running out next month, because millions of military personnel use it. Millions of other low-income people use it, and it's going away.
And this is just something, is this something that the Congress didn't renew it or something like that?
Yes. Yep. They're fighting it out, and they're like, nope, we're not renewing this. And it's the citizens that are paying, for their inaction. And it's unfortunate because you need internet. Without internet, it's really tough to get ahead. It's really tough to go to school. And so it's not a luxury. It is a necessity these days.
No, and we saw that during the pandemic when students that didn't have it, what a problem that was. And I know that there are places, I think the library has it and a lot of the schools, but boy, that's tough to go and, you know, to do your homework or to sit in your car and on a laptop, do it like that. Like you said, you're really at a disadvantage.
It's very unfortunate. And hopefully they'll end up doing something and pass something else to help people with internet. But all we can do is hope and cross the fingers.
Mm. And so you said that there was a program, this other program, it's a USAC Lifeline program?
Yes, USAC, it's a Universal Service Administrative Company. It's created by the FCC. It's a Lifeline program for qualifying Americans. If you use SNAP, Medicaid, food stamps, you get discounts on internet. And so there are other programs out there besides this program that's ending, but it's just really tough on these people. I hope, you know, they can switch over and get this other plan so they don't lose their internet. And a lot of elderly people have been using this ACP, and they're up against it now trying to find, the money to continue to have internet.
Yeah, and like you say, I mean, it's almost become what it was like years ago when areas didn't have electricity.
Yes, without water or electricity,
yeah.
Internet has become just about that important.
It's surprising, I mean, that really has, in over the last... It happened really suddenly to where everything now is centered around that, and not to have it.
Over the past 20 years or so, Ted,
yeah.
The internet, every year, we've become more and more dependent on it. And right now, if a business or a home, if their internet goes down, they're pounding, they're calling everyone, you know, calling their internet service provider because... It's that important. And so if you have a family and all of a sudden they can't afford this program ends and they can't afford the internet, that's a major problem.
Well, and when you talk about businesses, a lot of times with businesses, I've seen it here, sometimes the internet will go down, everybody goes home because they can't do work.
Well, we had one of our businesses we manage, their internet went out late yesterday. We were able to get them back up quickly, but it's like a 5-alarm fire without internet. You know, nothing happens. And especially with the companies that everything's on the internet, voice over IP phones,
yeah.
Obviously their internet, everything is controlled that way. And when the internet's down, that business is basically shut down.
Never thought of that with what you do, that there would be levels of a situation. If you have a business, say our internet's, you know, it's down, we're dead, we don't have anything, that's an important thing. That's where I guess you put all your resources into getting them back.
Yeah, there's all different. It's like triage.
Yeah,
and tech support. You might have a business that has three printers, and one of the printers isn't working. That's not a dire emergency. Or if you have 20 PCs and one PC's on the fritz, that's not a dire emergency. When the internet's down and the phones are down, yes, that's a 5-alarm fire.
And you'd think it wasn't that many years ago, because when we started this conversation of how this has become so important, of where some of us had dial-up, some of us didn't, then everyone had dial-up, and then and now there's no thought about dial-up. It's got to be. It's all about speed, and you know it has become everything, like you say.
Yes, and 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 2 or 3 megs of speed was considered fast.
Yeah.
Now that's the slowest thing. That's ancient at that kind of speed. Now we're talking 500 megs or 1 gig speed, and in the next few years, people are going to be getting 10 gig internet, and everything's just gone crazy. It's gone through, the speeds have gone through the roof.
I know when we've looked at things at home, I'm always wanting to have, because I'll be uploading, I upload a lot of things, and so you want to make sure that you do have speed, and it's, you know, you can just just to get things done. And this is a whole new world, and it's unfortunate that something like the Affordable Connectivity Program becomes something that becomes, you know, some kind of a political football, because, as you say, this is so important.
It's on the chopping block, and they're fighting it out, and so then the citizens are the ones that are suffering, that are going to end up suffering for this, and it's very unfortunate, but hopefully they're, you know, like this other program, people can get on this and help out some, you know, with their bills, but we'll just see how this all plays out.
It is Dave the Computer Guy in this morning on Newstalk 1230 WFVA, texting theberg.com. You can find out more information about what Dave does and get a hold of him and get involved with what he does. Internet plans. Boy, there's something when you talk about a wide open field and different things out there. There are all kinds of internet plans to choose from.
And actually, Ted, this is the perfect segue from discounted internet into this, because there is so many people that have plans with Comcast, with Cox, with Verizon.
Yeah.
They've had these plans for years, and if they check, they could probably save a lot of money and get much faster speed by checking and signing up with a new plan. I've done that recently. I checked my plan that I've had for a few years. I'm like, my gosh, new customers are getting something, a much, much better deal than I had.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, let me sign up for this again. I'm going to keep the using them anyway. Might as well sign a new contract. Cut my rates almost in half and get faster speed. And with some of the businesses we manage, we've been doing that too, having the bookkeeper check all their accounts, their voice over IP or internet accounts, and we'll compare the new plans. It's surprising how many times you can save money and actually get better speed by doing nothing, just sign a new contract.
I had the very same experience, and we were ready to switch, and then miraculously there was I'm authorized to make this deal for you, and it cut what we were paying, because the price just kind of creeps up on you. You get comfortable, or you don't want to have to deal with it, and all of a sudden you take a look at what you're paying, and in some cases you could be paying over $200 a month.
Yes, and a lot of times they'll say, no, this rate you're looking at is for new customers only.
Right.
You can push back on the sales agent on that, and they usually will agree to give it to you to keep you as a customer, because there's no way a new customer should be paying less and getting better service than an existing customer that they've had for 5 years.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll hear that, well, what you've got is grandfathered in. I think if you're willing to just tell them that you're willing to walk, they all of a sudden that new person rate will, they can make that work.
Yes, and some of the new rates are just so much better. One company that we manage, we were able to cut their internet rate almost in half and quadruple the speed. So they're paying a lot less money, getting much faster internet for doing nothing, and that's a win-win situation.
Oh, exactly. And the speed is important. A lot of times you get used to what you just kind of work around, and you get used to the slower speed. Some of these speeds, when you can take advantage of them, boy, it makes life so much easier and faster, literally.
Yes, and like with Verizon, Cox, or Comcast, a lot of people or a lot of businesses, if you've had the contract for several years, the chances are the speed you're getting, they don't even offer a speed that slow to new customers. It's impossible. Anything that you would sign up for today is probably going to be much faster. So always keep an eye on your plan and make sure that you're getting the best deal available that they offer.
could you ever have imagined the speeds and the kinds of things that we're dealing with now? Because, I mean, I know even a few years ago when I thought things were good, you're always telling me, watch out, such and such is coming, and it's going to be even lightning fast, you know, compared to what we have right now.
And like I was mentioning, Ted, about 20 years ago, 2 or 3 megs of speed was really fast. Now that's mind-bogglingly slow. And, you know, a lot of places, a lot of homes and businesses have 1 gig speed now. In the next few years, it will not be uncommon to see 10 gig speeds. Mm. And that's going to be something.
I can't even imagine.
Then in 20 years, somebody will say, yeah, I remember back in the day we only had 10 gig speed, and I can't imagine the suffering that went on because we only had 10 gig speed back then.
And then there, yeah. And then there's people like you and me, Dave, who will talk about, yeah, I remember when we had dial-up, where you had to dial up and nobody could pick up the phone. You'd have to yell around the house, I'm going to be on the internet for a few minutes. Don't be answering the phone.
Yep, I've got to check my AOL or Earthlink email, and so the phone's going to be tied up for 5 minutes.
Oh, I forgot about Earthlink. Sometime we should do a show on just some of these lost terms and companies that we dealt with back in the 80s have just gone by the wayside.
In the late 80s, I had a 286, a 386, and a 486 PC with dial-up, with Earthlink,
yeah,
and connected with the phone line. And so, yeah, that's seems like just a different world.
When I had an email that was an Earthlink, it's just all that stuff as technology moves forward, it's hard to keep up with. This is also probably a good chance to also just mention that, you know, we talk about the speeds and all. A lot of times we can get comfortable with computers. If you get a 5 or 6 year old computer, even though it may work, it's not going to work as well as a new one, and you might want to think about changing out that computer before it just totally dies on you.
That's true, Ted. Plus, Windows 10 is going away next year, so the changes in technology might be forced upon people, and they won't have a choice if they want to safely use the internet but to get a newer computer with Windows 11 on it.
He is Dave the Computer Guy with Techs in the Burg in downtown Fredericksburg. TechsintheBurg.com, the website. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dave, the Computer Guy, with Techs in the Burg in this morning. TechsintheBurg.com. They are on Lafayette Boulevard in downtown Fredericksburg. I don't know why this just popped into my head, but Dave, this literally just popped into my head. We're always talking about, you know, we were talking about Windows 10 going away, and be aware of that. Does Dave the Computer Guy have all of, like, the latest in computers and tech equipment, or are you like the rest of us, where sometimes, you know, we're a few generations behind on things at home?
I don't have the latest stuff. The equipment in the office is state of the art.
Yeah.
Servers, things like that. My personal stuff is a whole different story. My day-to-day personal laptop is several years old. It will run Windows 11, but I find it difficult. I'm very, very cheap in stuff I buy for myself.
Yeah.
I want something good, but it's almost always secondhand. And so I'll find a good reconditioned Dell laptop or HP laptop, maybe upgrade it a little bit myself, but mm-hmm. it costs pennies on the dollar compared to the same thing brand new. And I know what I'm looking for, and they last a long time. But I always pinch pennies with my own personal equipment. Stuff at the office is a whole different ballgame, and for customers. But my own laptop is a piece of junk that works.
Well, and that's interesting, and I think that's kind of good to know, because sometimes you'll see some of these, you know, refurbished things, and you just think, eh. And you know, you can get lemons, obviously, but you know, if you know what you're looking for, and you know, it may be, you know, you may be able to save a buck, and it may be worth your time.
Yes, and sometimes with our professional clients, if they're traveling, they don't need a new, very delicate thing. They need something very stout.
Yeah.
And that if something happens to it, it's not the end of the world. We can get another one. And for $300 or $400, you can get refurbished old professional grade dells, and that really, really are built like tanks. And you don't have to spend $3,000, because that laptop new might be $2,000 or $3,000. If it's just going to be beat up and everything, mm-hmm. get one 2 or 3 years old, and just use it till it drops. Save a lot of money. And I've very rarely seen one of these go bad. And, you know, they have solid-state drives, a lot of memory. They're built like tanks. And just save some money. And we've had one customer who wanted a laptop. But he wanted something real fast, even though he just uses it for Word documents, Excel, and everything. And so he went out and bought a real, real nice laptop. And then he brought it to me, and I said, you know, what do you think of it? And I said, well, it's a really, really nice laptop, but it's going to be very delicate. This is a frameless touch screen, and it's going to break very easily. And if it does, that's going to be a few $100 to fix. And so there's different ways to approach buying a laptop or a PC. And I always, in the past, 20 years ago, I'd tell, or 25 years ago, buy the most expensive thing you can and keep it for as long as you can. Now it's buy the cheapest thing that'll do the job. And a few years, it's going to be a paperweight anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good advice and something to think about, of you know, especially that part of it of if it does break, how, you know, how much is it going to cost to fix, or is it going to be something that you do have to really take care of and make sure, you know, that it might be more fragile than most. So good.
Yes. And if you have someone that travels, you know, I wouldn't be comfortable traveling with a laptop with a very, very delicate touch screen on it. Some are more stout than others. Some will just break almost if you look at it cross-eyed. And those kind of things scare me, because if you just handle it wrong, oh, the next thing you know, that laptop's not working.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's something to think about.
Okay, good stuff, good stuff. Here's our next topic is something I have no idea on. You're going to have to carry this whole thing, because I have never heard of a NAS drive for homes. What is a NAS drive?
It's basically a network-attached storage. These have been around for years.
Oh, okay.
They're basically like a small PC, but there's no keyboard or mouse to it. It's just a little electronic box with hard drives in it that you plug into your internet, and you can use it to share or back up data. So if you're a home user, you can get into like maybe a 4 or 8 terabyte NAS box, plug it into your internet, and just share all of the stuff from your laptops and PCs in your house to it. It downloads stuff, put on it, make backup copies and put on it. It's just an inexpensive way to share and backup data for home users.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
They range from like $250 to $400. You can get them cheaper or much more expensive than that, but the average household probably about $350 or something. And they're a real good way to back up data, because you'll have kids, everyone has laptops and everything. You can make a backup copies of all your stuff, put on the NAS box, and that's it.
And so you just have it, what, plugged in somewhere else in the house?
Yeah, just set it on the shelf and make sure it's plugged into the internet, and that's it. It's like a little computer, but with no keyboard or mouse, and you just share everything on it.
Okay, so everybody, I guess, has a password or something to get onto it, or get to their files.
You can set it up that way, yes, with security on it for individual users. We have some businesses that use these. It's sort of another redundant way for backups. But for home users, I think it would be very, very convenient, very helpful in storing stuff.
Yeah, and I guess if after you finish something or something that you might want to share or you want to save, you just drag it over there and put it there, and that's, you know, it's off your computer.
If people download a bunch of movies, put them on the NAS drive.
Oh.
And you don't have to take up space on your PC or laptop. Just put them on that and just grab them when you want to.
Okay. I at first when you were describing this, my thought was you got a computer with not a lot of memory and you would just put it over there and that way you didn't. But, you know, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's basically like a little computer with the hard drive shared out on it and you just put whatever you want on it, and it's a real good way to do backups or share data in a household.
And as we have talked about before, backups, backup, backup, backup. If you don't want to lose something, make sure it's in a backup, and you've talked about making sure for some real important stuff, maybe you back it up in a couple of locations.
Yeah, always have at least two different types of backups. We've had numerous people in the past week drop off stuff with failed hard drives, and they're panicked and almost crying because everything they have is on it. They admitted they don't have a backup, and all their family photos, their finances, everything is at risk. And it shouldn't be this way. It only costs a few dollars a month to have good backups, and it's a lot better than losing all your family photos and all your finances.
Mm. And it can happen so quickly. And once it's gone, it's gone.
A split second it can happen. Sometimes they fail over time, and you'll actually be getting, there are some symptoms that can occur ahead of time, an occasional blue screen or sluggishness or weird noises. Things can creep up on you like that, or it's one split second, it's dead. And some failure is so bad that that's it. They're not recoverable. Most you can get some data off of, but it's very expensive. We just had one customer who had to send it off to this lab we deal with, and it was about $3,500 to get the data back.
Mm. As soon as you said we had to send it to a lab, you know, the hair on my arms went up. I thought that can't be good, or you're going to pay for that.
Yes, and it's a clean room. There's no dust. There's no particles. When you take one of these old mechanical drives apart, there cannot be any dust in the room. So this is basically laboratory conditions. Very, very expensive for them to work on it, and the customer pays for it.
And the other thing you think of is if this was that important, if you had just, you know, gotten backups or had, you know, paid to put it on the cloud every month.
Put it on the cloud, buy a $50 external hard drive, put it on that, buy a flash drive, put it on that. It's not that expensive to do. It doesn't take that long, and it can alleviate a lot of pain and suffering.
You need to wear a t-shirt, Dave, that just says backup, backup, backup. Just because we talk about it all the time, and you always are telling me, yeah, that, you know, last week we dealt with somebody that had that. We all think it's not going to happen to us, but just like you said, I've got a computer right now that every couple of weeks it'll say an error has happened, that, you know, we're collecting data, we'll have to reset. And you just look at that, and you just think something's going on here. And one of these days, it's gonna reset, and it's not gonna come back.
It's all, Ted. It's almost like driving a car with no insurance. Hmm. Okay, the chances are you probably won't get in an accident, but if you do, it could be a devastating loss to you if you don't have insurance. Without backups, it's the same way. The chances are today your computer probably will not crash, but if it does, and you afford to lose everything on it.
Yeah, yeah. Onward we go. A Wi-Fi 7. Let's talk about that.
Okay, that's the latest standard. There's a lot of Wi-Fi 7 routers being sold by Best Buy and other big box retailers now, and a lot of people just want the latest, greatest stuff,
yeah.
And Wi-Fi 7 is it as far as Wi-Fi routers. You're probably not going to notice a whole lot of difference if you already have Wi-Fi 6, It's many times fast, 7 is many times faster, but it's also much more faster than the internet you're going to be using. But if you have several computers at your house and they're all Wi-Fi 7 capable, and you have a Wi-Fi 7 router, you can share stuff back and forth lightning fast. But what is going to be the real kicker for this is if you have Wi-Fi 7, then you're virtually future-proof for the next few years. And as the internet gets faster, when 10 gig speed starts rolling out, across America, then these Wi-Fi routers are going to sing. They're just going to be screaming fast.
So I'm reading between the lines, but it sounds like you're saying if you're able to and you haven't done this in a while, maybe you think about upgrading to Wi-Fi 7.
If you have a real old Wi-Fi router, wireless AC, wireless in, and you're thinking about getting a new router, you might as well just go ahead and get Wi-Fi 7. That's the best out there right now. If you have Wi-Fi 6, I would probably just stick with that. I have Wi-Fi 6 in my house. I'm not planning on upgrading to 7 anytime soon because it's much faster than my internet. But if you have an old system and you're looking to replace it, you might as well go with 7. That future-proofs it for the next few years, and as the internet speeds increase, then you're going to really notice some difference as far as it's going to be capable of handling 10 gig speeds.
I haven't done, usually my wife handles this, but to change out Wi-Fi, how complicated is that?
It's not very hard to replace a Wi-Fi router. If you're at all comfortable with tech stuff, it's going to be pretty straightforward. I've walked people through it on the phone many times.
Okay.
And if you're not tech savvy or not comfortable with any type of technology, then you definitely want to call somebody. And it's not that big a deal. It takes an hour or less usually to put in a Wi-Fi router. But if you have kids, the kids in the family all generally could do it. They know everything. I remember my nephew years and years ago, I put a Wi-Fi router at my mother's house, and my nephew came over and said, "You installed this wrong," and I gave him the dirtiest look. But the kids these days, they grow up with technology.
Yeah.
They think they know it all. And a lot, when you grow up with this type of technology, it's very easy. Configuring a Wi-Fi router is pretty straightforward if you know it. And so just have one of your kids do it if you can't do it.
Well, we talk about what's about technology, Dave. It used to be if you had a bigger house and you were farther upstairs or off in a corner somewhere, you'd have trouble with Wi-Fi. So much more now, Wi-Fi is will cover a whole house, and it doesn't matter where you are.
In the past several years, Wi-Fi has just been improved so much. We can go through cinder block walls, concrete walls, things that were unimaginable 10 years ago. Wi-Fi speeds and Wi-Fi coverage. You can have a 6,000 square foot house, and every single inch of it has strong, fast Wi-Fi. 10 years ago, that wasn't possible.
So it's Wi-Fi 7. If you've got an older version, or you're thinking about upgrading, think about that Wi-Fi 7. Dave, the computer guy, here this morning. Tex in the Berg with texintheberg.com, the website, or check them out on Facebook. We will wrap this up when we come back with Dave, the computer guy, on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dave, the computer guy, here this morning. Fastest hour in radio, Dave. We always talk about it. This hour has just flown by.
This has flown by. I'm going to have to skip a few of the topics I wanted to talk about, and we can do that next month. But one thing I did want to cover, I was talking with my wife the other day about this, that and how tech has changed on music.
Yeah.
And how it's sort of come full circle now. Back in the 60s and 70s when I grew up, everyone had 8-tracks and cassettes and the vinyl records.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the 80s, the CDs started coming out. Everyone switched over to CDs. Then with the advent of the internet and high-speed internet, we got online streaming services and digital audio that people are downloading, and that's all the rage. Then the vinyl records have come back, and I was telling you that I've always had an affinity for the vinyl record for the sound.
Yeah.
A nice stereo.
Yep.
That, to me, it always sounds better than a CD or any digital download or anything like that. And now they're back again. So over the past 30 or 40 years, we've come from 8-track cassettes to tapes to CDs to digital audio back to vinyl again. So we're back where we started 40 or 50 years ago.
Yeah. It is it is nice to download something as much as, like you, I'm kind of an old school person, but when you want a song and you can download it, in just a minute or so, it's nice.
And I love the online streaming services as far as the digital media.
Yeah.
You can pick whatever song you're like, okay, I want this band. Here's the Osmonds. I have an Osmond record, and I don't know how long. Oh, I went down by the lazy river. There it is. When you just play it, or Simon and Garfunkel, or Led Zeppelin, or whatever, and just have your choice. And it's so convenient. But the sound of the vinyl records to me is always the absolute best on a real good stereo.
Totally agree. Before we get out of here, you're always out looking for bargains, and you said you were telling me you have seen several.
Yes, there is a really, really nice Lenovo IdeaPad, 15.5-inch, 16 gigs of memory, 512-gig hard drive, regularly $800 on sale for $429 at Best Buy. That is a really nice laptop for a student. There's no way this will handle 99% of whatever a high school or college student's going to throw at it. Fast, a lot of storage, a lot of memory. And there's an HP at Best Buy also, regularly $629 on sale for $379.
Mm.
16 gigs of memory, 256 gig hard drive. Really nice for a high school or college student.
So keep your eyes open for these. There are deals to be had, and you can stay up in the tech world and save yourself a little bit of money too.
Yes, you don't have to spend $2,000 or $3,000 on a college student for a laptop. These are really nice, and they don't break the bank.
You mentioned to start off the show. We talked about this, about if you're a person that has used or been considering the affordable connectivity program, it's going away. So be aware of that.
Yes, next month, it's going away. There are the U.S. AC Lifeline program that they can switch over to. And next month, we can talk about this a little bit more, since this one thing is going away next month.
Yeah.
And it's really going to hit low-income people.
So be aware of that. And also be aware, we have talked about it, that come January, the support for Windows 10 is going away. So if you have a computer that can't handle that.
The second half of next year.
Or second half, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So that is going to be happening. And again, be aware of the weather. We don't want you to have problems with getting a lightning strike or something.
Yep, or a power surge, and back up.
At some point, you didn't mention today the words that didn't come out of your mouth. I don't want you to say it, because this is a red letter day. We didn't talk about the internet being the Wild West. I'll say it. You don't have to say it today, but be careful about that. But I think that's the first time that has never come up. So, Dave, the computer guy, great talking to you, Dave, my friend. We'll do this again next month.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Fredericksburg.
And remember, Tex in the Berg is with Best in the Berg. That goes on until about the middle of next month. So vote for Tex in the Berg. Dave, thank you. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
That's it. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.